Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday night Bible study, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. As always, it's a privilege and an honor that God has allowed us the opportunity to be together one more time. It's very exciting and it's rewarding to know that God has given us a forum where we could come together on Wednesday night to fellowship and explore the Word of God together. You know, I thank God for what He has done and is doing and what He promised to do. We have to really just hold on to the confession of our faith. We have to rely on that God has everything in control. You know, as always, I always have to say that without God, I just don't know where my life would be. You know, I don't know how some people are able to go around day after day in this world leaning and depending upon themselves for all of their needs and their substance and their means, because God is the essence of everything and nothing happens unless He allows it or orchestrates it. So I'm just glad, like I said, for this opportunity where we come together. We have been coming together here for over a year and a half, and God has never failed us yet. Some of you have been with me from the first time, and you continue to come back each and every week, and I say thank you. Right now, I want you to know that I have to give all honor and praise to God, the Father, the Son. I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule each week at the 8:30 hour and call. And I just want to give praise to God because He's worthy. Tonight, our lesson is going to come from the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in the second chapter. We're going to do verses 8 and 9. For those who have your Bibles, get your Bibles out and get ready, because God has a word for His people. Also, I would like to let you know that we have a prayer warrior on the line tonight. And I don't know about the Wednesdays that's coming up, but I know she's going to bring prayer to us on today. Her name is Elyria Mack, and she's coming through the airwaves and lives in Boothville, Louisiana. So what I'm going to do at this time, I'm going to go ahead and open her mic, and I'm going to let her bring forth the opening prayer. And then I'm going to play a song, and we'll come back and get into the lesson. But we're going to welcome Mrs. Elyria Mackey to our program tonight, and she's going to bring us to the throne of grace. Ms. Mackey, your mic is open, and you can now make your prayer request.
Lord, we thank you, O God, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God, we just come to magnify, glorify you, just to praise and lift up the name of Jesus, asking that you would open up our understanding. You say with all thy getting, get some understanding, God. We ask that you would crown our head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding most of all. God, we give you reverence. We give you honor. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We just come glorifying you, O God. God, we ask that you would give us a word that it would encourage our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we give you the honor, we give you the praise, and we give you the glory, and we will worship you and magnify you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, we pray, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God.
And Ms. Mackey, we say thank you for opening us up with prayer, and we pray you stay on the line, and we may need you again at the end of the prayer. Thank you so much for that prayer. Well, I see we have another prayer warrior on the line. My grandson, Madison Chambers, has called in, and I want to thank you, Madison, for being obedient. Madison is at home with his mother, and he's calling into the studio on tonight. So, again, I say thank you, Madison, and thank God for you. You know, the Bible teaches us that if we teach a child in the way that it should go, it will never depart from you. You know, when we live our lives and we have children and grandchildren and nieces and nephew, you know, we only build in memories because all of us are born to die. So you have to be careful. What would you like them to think about you now and even when you're gone? So I thank God for Madison. And he was on the line, but looked like, let me see if he done came back. Yes, there he is. So Madison, would you like to say something to the people and give us a prayer?
Yes.
You can start.
God, thank you for another Wednesday, another day to learn about you at this night at 8:30, but now 8:36. Please be with us. See that we have learned things about you. And please, when we go to heaven, compliment us on what we have learned and thank us for what we have done, even though we are supposed to. God, please, please let nothing harm us tonight. Some people might be looking over the Bible after this, studying and seeing what was happening when my grandma was telling the story. Please watch over them. And some people might have work, so let them sleep good and be well rested for tomorrow, what they have to do at their job. Please watch over us tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Oh, thank you, Madison, so much. That was such a beautiful prayer. Would you like to say anything else to the people tonight?
No, ma'am.
And I thank you, Madison, and I pray you could listen to some of the program if your schedule allows it, because I know it's a school night. But to Elyria Mackey from Boothville, Louisiana, thank you for that such a beautiful prayer. And Madison Andrew Chambers, we thank you for that as well. So right now, I'm going to play a song, and once the song is completed, we gonna go into the Word of God.
You love me through my bad. You love me through my good. And you love me through my bad. You didn't erase my future because of my past. I'm glad you love me. God.
You love me through my good and my bad.
right here. You keep on loving me. Somebody help me. You keep on loving me.
Yes, that was Jay Moss. You love me through my good and my bad. And one thing in that song, say that's so exciting to me, is that he's not going to cancel our future because of our past. That's the kind of God we serve. I see that a lot of callers has come in since we gave the topic in the scripture. But the topic for tonight is God always provides the evidence. And the scripture is coming from the book of Ephesians. And those who may be looking for it, that's a book in the New Testament. It's going to be found in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, the 8th and the 9th verse. The book of Ephesians was written by Paul in the Bible, and it's in the New Testament. So the lesson tonight, God always provides evidence. Every lesson that I do, I always talk about a character that may have written a book, the place that he may be writing to, the church and people of the church that he's writing to. Or I sometimes speak on what was he writing about. But tonight, since the topic is God always provides the evidence, I'm going to do the background on the attributes of God. And we're going to go ahead into the Word of God right now. You see, the Bible, which is God's Word, tell us that God, what God is like and what he's not like. Without the authority of the Bible, any attempt to explain God's attributes, and the attributes is characteristics and the things that makes a person what they are, but they say any attempt to explain God's attributes would be no better than an opinion, which by itself is often incorrect, especially in understanding God. That is so true. It is just so true. To say that it is important for us to try to understand what God is like is a huge misunderstatement. Only what God has chosen. Now, this is very important. I want y'all to get this. Only what God has chosen to reveal of himself can be known. So, you know, they always say there's many secret things of God, and some things we're not going to understand. We have to understand them by and by, or as God reveals it to his people. But they say only what God has chosen to reveal of himself can be known. One of God's attributes or quality is life, meaning that he is self-revealing in information of himself. In other words, God only lets you know what he wants to let you know, but you got to believe that what he lets you know is enough that you need to know. And it's amazing because God has revealed so much to us, and it's all in the word of God, and yet we have people who don't read the Bible, so what he has already revealed, some people still don't know. You see, God uses everything he created, such as nature, the Bible, the word that was made flesh, which is Jesus Christ. And all of us should, all of this should help us to know what God is like. You know, let's start by understanding that God is our creator and that we are part of his creation. By considering creation's vastness, complexity, its beauty, and the order, we can have a sense of the awesomeness of God. You know, just look around, the flowers, the birds, the trees. Come on now, the mountains, and the order. You know, I have magnolia trees in my backyard, and they say that the magnolias, which is them beautiful big white flowers, they come out in early summer. And you best believe when the month of April comes around, before the summer months really begin, them magnolias going to start coming in that tree. Now, that's called order. God is a God of order. That is awesome. That's the awesomeness of God. You see, God is eternal. What am I saying here? I'm saying that he has no beginning and his existence will never end. How you like that? He is immortal and infinite. He's immutable. When I say that, I'm saying that he's unchanging. God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. This is the true meaning that God is absolutely reliable and trustworthy. You know how they have some people, you think they might have bipolar, or they may be sick, or they may be something wrong with them. Because, you know, they switching and they changing and they mood in, they this day and that this day. You know, just people, not even people with a sickness, just normal people. You know, you might say, well, I got to go to Mary's house today, but I don't know how she's going to be today or who she's going to be today. You know, all of these things. But you don't have to do that with God. You never have to worry about with that God because he's unchangeable. You see, and then when we say infinite, that means it's timeless and endless in space, intent, or size. God is impossible to measure or calculate. That's an awesome God. God is incomparable. There is no one like him in his works or his being. He is unequivocal. Perfect, unfathomable, unsearchable, and past finding out as far as understanding him completely. Now, don't take it the wrong way. We can never know the mind of God. He said, "Our thoughts are far from him, as the sky is away from the dew on the ground." But God, as we said, I said earlier, he is one of his attributes was light, and that's saying he reveals of himself. I also say that the word of God and the coming of Jesus Christ and all these things lets us know something about God, because you know God wants us to trust him. So he allows himself to be known because you can't trust someone you don't know. You see, God is just. He is no respecter of person, and in the sense of showing favoritism. What God does for one, he'll do for others. Come on now, y'all. God don't leave no one stuck out, and he's not one to leave no one behind. And if you do feel that way, you maybe need to check yourself, because God is going to do what God does, and God has no respect of person. You see, God is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful, and he can do anything he pleases, whenever he pleases, for whomever he pleases. But he's still fair, and he's just, and he's no respect of person. But his actions will always be in accord with the rest of his character. You know, you could pray for certain things that's really crazy and it don't line up with the word of God. You could keep it to yourself because God is not going to go against his nature. And everything got to be in accord with the rest of his character. You know, and I use this little silly thing because it's really true, but it's really silly. You know, when they had a lady and she would get down and she would pray and she liked it, this man, and she would pray to God to do something with his wife. You know, she didn't necessarily pray for her to get killed or anything, but let him get a divorce or let her move out of town or let her meet a man and leave her husband, then I could have him. God ain't going to do nothing outside of his character for you and your foolishness. He is always working it out for our good. And you got to always remember and be satisfied. You know, Paul said in the scripture that he learned to be content in the state that he's in. I'm not telling you to be content with nothing. I'm not telling you to be slothful and be content. But when you have done all that you can do, you stand and you be content, because you got to remember what God's got for you is for you. You got to just trust him. You see, God is omnipotent, mean that he is present everywhere. So no matter where you are in life, he's there. God is omniscient, meaning he knows the past, the present, and the future. Now, see, by God knowing everything, you know, some people say, well, then if God's already predestined, and who's going to be saved is going to be saved, and who's going to be good, and who's going to be bad, if all that's predestined, why? What sense do it make to do anything? That's not what it's saying. He didn't say it. He did make us free moral agent, and we do have the right to choose. But because he's all-knowing, he knows everything before the beginning of time all the way into eternity. So tonight, which is October the 15th at 8-something p.m., God knew this. He knew who would call on the line, and he knew who had a desire to call and didn't, and he knew who was not even concerned with this. So he didn't make somebody call or make somebody not call or make nobody be not concerned. He just know that you would be that. You see, he knows everything that we are thinking at any given moment. And since God is everywhere, everywhere you go, you got to remember you're taking him with you. Some places that you go and some things that you think and some things that you do, you know you're taking God with you. But you see, even though he knows everything, his justice will always be administered fairly. You ain't got to worry about God being fair. You might have to worry about your children or your husband. You might have to worry about your mom or your daddy. But you don't never have to worry about God being fair. You might not like what happens, but even if it's not turning out the way that you would like, you got to realize God is still there, and he's still working it out together for your good. You know, God uses some things to mature us, to get us to the level that he wants us to be, and sometimes, as he did with Job, it is only a test. You see, God is one. Not only is there no other ones like him, God does not have to go into counsel on your behalf, but he is alone in being able to meet the deepest needs and the longings of your heart. You see, God alone is worthy of your worship and devotion. God is righteous, meaning that God cannot and will not pass over any wrongdoing. So, you know, we say God is slow to act. You got to realize there are consequences for all of your actions, and whatever you sow, you're going to reap. See, God has already put some things in place for wrongdoing. He don't have to wait around for you to do it. I have to stand up or give you a punishment now. Because when your wrongdoing get in the earth realm, you got the consequences for that. When Jesus died, he took away our sins. He said, but your consequences belong to you. And then the Bible said, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So if you sow in wrong, you're going to get wrong. It's already there. God don't even have to touch that. It's like gravity. It is true. It is real, and it ain't going nowhere. You see, it's because of God's righteousness and justice that in order for our sins to be given, Jesus had to experience God's wrath when our sins was placed upon him. You see, all of the sins of the world was placed on Jesus. Yes, as I said a little earlier, Jesus take away your sins, each and every one of them, not just for you, but the whole world, but your consequences belong to you. You see, God is sovereign, meaning he is supreme. All of his creation put together cannot dwarf his purpose. Nothing that can ever happen, nothing anybody could say, nothing that the devil could do, nothing that you won't do, nothing that you should do, nothing that you need to do, nothing that you wish you could do, nothing that can change God who he is. And I like to use the phrase that when you tell people and everything is going on about the word of God and that you should read the word of God and you should study the word of God to know God. I know for a fact, because I did it many years in my life, you take your book to church on Sunday and you leave it in your car on Sunday when you come home, and next Sunday you don't have to worry about it. When you get to church, you look good, you're going in with your Bible, but your Bible been in your car your whole week. I just like to tell everybody, you could read the word of God if you want. You could study the word of God if you want. You could pray if you want. But if you decide not to do that, none of that's going to make God less God. See, God inspired man to write the Bible. He already know it. The Bible is for you, for daily instructions, for daily living. You see, God is a spirit, meaning that he's invisible. God is a trinity. We know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God is true. He will remain incorruptible and cannot be separated from his people. Sin separated him from his people, but his desires to not to be separated from his people. You see, God sees all evil and it angers him. God is gracious, and his grace includes his goodness, mercy, kindness, and his love. If it was not for God's grace, his holiness would exclude us from his presence. Thankfully, this is not the case, for he desires to know each one of us personally. Have you submitted yourself and obeyed enough that you could have a one-on-one relationship with God, that you could have your personal relationship? Stop looking around at what you think somebody else have with God or where they at with God. God wants to know us, each one of us personally, and you got to remember everything is not for everybody, and what God has for you is for you. Take your personal relationship with God and rest on it and bathe and nurture it, because it's all good and it's enough. Since God is infinite, is an infinite being, no human can fully answer this God-sized question. But through God's word, we can understand much about who God is and what he is like. May we all wholeheartedly continue to seek after him. And that's our background tonight. And, you know, I do background on many people, many subjects, and many things. But I was led by the Spirit to do the background on God, because until we truly know who God is, we can never know who we are. The more you know of God, the more you'll know of yourself. Keep that in mind. And our lesson is coming from Ephesians 2 and 8 through 9, and we're going to start with the lesson. And verse 8 says, "For by grace we are saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God." And the ninth verse says, "Not of work, lest any man should boast." Okay. We're talking about grace. And we're talking about faith. You know, those two things are God things. It's not man things. It's not world things. You know, I'm talking about the grace of God and the faith in Jesus Christ tonight. You see, the grace of God is the saving power that God has made available to all mankind. And for those who don't know, he extended that from the beginning of time. Before the foundation of the world was there, when he decided to make a master plan to create his people, for to create you and to create me, God included grace. You see, John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, this scripture is more than we sometimes imagine. God loved the world and he gave his son for whosoever believes. He loved the whole world. He gave his son for the whole world. That's grace. Now, even though he gave it to the world, and even though it's there for the world, it don't mean everybody's going to accept it. But God is such a gracious God, he extended to all. Because remember, early in his attributes, I said, he is no respecter of person. You see, grace is not just for one, but it's for all. Whosoever will, let him come. I'm only talking about grace right now, and even though faith is in the scripture, I want you to know that grace is a gift from God towards us. It is unmerited and undeserved. We didn't do anything to get it, and we couldn't do anything to stop it. Grace was already formulated before you got here. Grace was here before Adam and Eve got placed in a garden. So when I say there's nothing you can do to earn it and there's nothing to do you can stop it, that's why I'm taking time to explain and break this lesson down like this. You see, grace is a God thing. Grace is God doing his part towards us. With grace, he provided all evidence necessary for us to trust him and to obey his command. See, the lesson tonight is God always provides the evidence. You see, great is an action where God came looking for us. And for anybody who don't know it, I come to tell you tonight, remember, you didn't go looking for God. God came looking for you. And right now, we could take a look at what grace does. It has been grace has been defined as a divine influence which operate in us to regenerate and to sanctify. So if I say regenerate, regenerate is an action. And sanctify is an action, like regeneration and sanctification. That's action. So that lets us know that grace is with us, doing these things for us. It inspires virtuous impulses. You know, every time you get ready to do good, that's the grace of God that's in you. And it is important to strengthen us to endure all the trials, tribulations, and temptations. That's what grace is doing. You know, we say, oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You know, we say we live in a dispensation of time because in the Old Testament it was the law and the New Testament is grace. Yes, it is grace, but you got to know what grace is when you call upon it. You got to know what grace really does for you. You got to know what you got to get what you need. You see, grace is the empowering presence of God enabling you to be who he called you to be. You will never be or reach your intended purpose that God has created you to be without grace. You see, God's grace gives us the desire and the power to do his will. When you're doing what God wants you to do, you know that's grace. And you know when you decide to know better and don't do it, you're putting grace on the shelf. Grace holds all the provisions. You know, they say God never asks you to do anything but without providing the provisions to do it. Grace is right there. Grace holds all the provisions necessary for you now and forevermore. This the part I love. You see, grace is God's riches. All of God's riches is wrapped in grace. So grace is God's riches that he gives us imparts in us, empowered in us. Grace is God's riches towards us at Christ's expense. That's enough to close the lesson right now. You see, grace is God's unmerited favor. You know, there's favor when you accept Christ, and there's favor of man. God sometimes touched the heart of a man to find favor in your life. You know, the world like to say favor ain't good, but favor ain't fair, but it's good. You know the favor that has happened in your life. You didn't deserve it because it comes along with grace, and grace is a gift. Favor is a gift. Don't get it twisted. You didn't do enough to get favor. How are you going to do enough to get favor, and it's called favor? What is grace? What is grace? Grace is God doing good for us what we do not deserve. You see, that's grace. We don't deserve it. In the Bible, grace and mercy are like two heads on the same coin. You see, now y'all listen to this. Mercy is God withholding. Let me start over. Grace is God withholding judgment or evil that we deserve. That's what mercy is. You know, people be saying, have mercy on me. And you know, they usually cry out for mercy in the time when they know they don't deserve it and it's going to give them some punishment or something should be happening to them that they don't want to happen. You see, that's the mercy. He say, hallelujah. He say, mercy is God withholding judgment or evil that we deserve. You see, now watch this. And grace is God giving us blessing or good that we do not deserve. See, mercy protects us from what we deserve that we don't want to get. And grace gives us the things that we don't deserve and we shouldn't get. You see, isn't God grace sufficient? You see, it's by God's grace. And it's a song, but it's really true. But it say it's by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. You see, it's by God's grace that no weapon can form against you. You see, that's what grace does. Grace, understand what grace do, baby. When you say grace, I pray it don't never be the same to you. You got to know what the word of God says about his attributes and who he is. So when you call upon him, you know what you're saying. You know what to ask for. You see, and my lesson tonight saying God always provides the evidence, and I want you to know that evidence is the available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or proposition is true or valid. You know, when they say in court, when they're looking for a criminal, they say the judge asks, what evidence do you have? Evidence is what uses to try to prove that something is true or not true. You see, evidence is the proof, the confirmation, the verification, and the corroboration of the facts. With that being said, we can only understand the grace of God. You see, God uses his grace to provide us the evidence of who he is, what he has done and is doing, and what he planned to do. That's the Bible. Genesis, in the beginning, talks about his creation. That's what he has done. You know, and he talked about what he did with his people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, God has given us the evidence of what he has done and what he's doing. What he's doing right now in the lives, I have to let one of you press the one button at the end of time and talking about how he healed you or how he delivered you or how he showed up when the rent was due. That's what he's doing now. And he promised what he's going to do in the future, because just go to the Bible, the 66th book, the last book, the book of Revelation written by John. It's an autobiography of Jesus Christ by himself, about himself. You see, God had a master plan for his creation before the foundation of the world, and he included grace, not just for me, but for you and for the whole world, but you got to accept it. God has revealed his grace to mankind from the beginning. Contrary to much belief in God, come on now, contrary to what some people say, God has manifested his grace throughout the Old Testament before Jesus was born. You know, we live in a dispensation of time of grace. Some people do not even deal with the Old Testament, and they got some people who don't deal with the New Testament. Come on now. But contrary to what they believe, the grace had always been here before Jesus Christ was born. God, Jesus is grace, and that's what saves us. But it was always the saving power of God was administered when he administered his creation. You see, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, God's grace towards Adam and Eve was for eternity, but they ate from the forbidden tree, and by that they chose death. But the grace was there because they had a tree of life. Come on now, get your study together. Let's go on down and see God for who he really is. You see, God extended his grace towards Noah and his family. And I say his family because his wives had husbands. But you see, when it got time to get on the boat, the son-in-laws didn't believe. You see, the grace was there because the ark was built. God had given the instructions. He promised to save Noah and his family, but he don't make you accept it. The son-in-laws refused the invitation, and the rest is history. You know they chose death because they drowned. You see, when God delivered Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife refused the grace that God has extended to Lot because of Abraham, that they would leave Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. But you see, when God delivered Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot's wife refused the grace. What was before her, and she looked back, and y'all know she received that. I just say that to get you a little bit to see that it's grace ain't nothing new. It didn't come along with Jesus. God has already dispensed it for the whole world from the beginning of time. Grace has always been a part of God's love towards us. Let's understand the most basic characteristics of the nature of God. God's grace is rooted and flow from his love. Whenever he extends mercy and forgiveness, favor and blessing, kindness and forbearance, it's by his grace. I want you to see where all of the good things that you need and what you're looking for and what could sustain you, that's God's grace. When you get on your knees or you call on the word of God, you thank him for his amazing grace. So we can say that grace is God's love towards us. Now, I talked about grace, and the scripture said we are saved by grace, we are saved through faith. Not of ourselves, it's a gift from God. So I done talked about grace, now I'm going to talk a little bit about that faith. Now we're going to look at faith. The scripture said we are saved by grace, but we are saved through faith. And not of ourselves, it's a gift from God. Everything in this verse is a gift of God. Come on, let's get that clear. Everything in this verse is a gift from God. The grace is a gift of God. The salvation is a gift of God. And the faith to receive salvation is a gift from God. What this telling you? God got it. God done said it. God done put it into place. God is working it out. All you have to do is submit and obey. God is not asking you to do all these things. He didn't tell you to go conjure up some faith. He never asked you to go find some grace and bring it to him and let him bless it. You see, this is no human or philosophical faith. The faith that was imparted in you when you became a new creation of God, that's God's own brand of faith. Faith is what activates the grace of God. See, grace has always been here, but you need faith to activate it, and grace is only accessed by grace. Grace is only accessed by faith. Grace is extended to everyone, but not everyone. Grace is extended to everyone, but only those who have faith in God's master plan for salvation receive it. Grace is out here for everybody. I can't be out of everybody when maybe you got saved 10 years ago and somebody you know got saved last night. That's the same grace. It was dead 10 years ago. It's not 20 years ago. It's going to be here. Grace has been provided, and you need faith to receive it. Faith is also a gift from God. We done talked about that. Faith alone doesn't save, and it has to be combined with grace. You see, God's grace got to be there, and it was always there. Isn't that amazing what you needed to start with? God already had provided it. And this is no joke, what you need to end with, God has provided that too. You see, grace is a gift from God. This is where God is doing his part in the plan of salvation. So he made the provisions of grace available to everybody. Now, grace is God doing his part. Faith is us doing our part. Got it? Do you really have it? Y'all could press the one button at the end of the program because we're fixing to finish, and y'all could talk to me about this. You might have some insight. You might have something to give a twist on it. You know, I tell y'all all the time, I don't know everything, and one thing I do know, I am only giving information tonight. It is the Holy Ghost's job to give illumination and revelation. You see, once we know who God is, by the evidence he has provided in his word, his will, and his way, and we begin to trust him, and that trust activates our faith. You see, the through faith is when we accept, believe, and confess that Jesus is the Lord by the grace of God, and we are then saved. This definition of faith contains two aspects. You see, intellectual approval and trust. Intellectual approval is believing something to be true without evidence. How you like that? That's intellectual approval. But you see, trust is actually relying on the evidence that something is true. Now, to have trust, you got to have the evidence. That's why my topic tonight is God always provides evidence. God is not going to leave it where you could have some kind of thing, say, well, I know he showed up this time, but he can't show up this time. God could do anything. God could do everything. And that's why there's so much evidence of who he really is. You see, plenty of people use the illustration of a chair to explain this. You see, a chair is often used to help illustrate this. Intellectual approval is the recognizing that a chair is a chair. And then you agree that it is designed to support a person who sat on it. See, that's the intellectual. That's a chair. You know that's a chair. And if the chair, you know, if you sit on a chair, it's going to hold you. That's intellectual. You see, but trust is when you actually sit in a chair. Come on now, I hope y'all got it. You see, God is always providing the evidence. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but now grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. So what does this say? But grow in grace. So that's telling us we can grow in this grace thing. And how we do it? By the knowledge of God. We grow in grace by the knowledge of God, and the more we know of him, the more we trust him, and the more our faith will increase. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We cannot receive faith unto salvation by works. Y'all know that? That was the other little last part in the scripture. There is no amount of works or deed that could grant you salvation or make you worthy enough to become the righteousness of God. If anybody could do enough works or enough deeds to get salvation, then why would Jesus Christ have to die? Why would God take and come down from heaven, allow himself to be wrapped up in flesh, incarnated, and become a human God, which is Jesus Christ, to walk on the earth to teach you how to live, then allow himself to be die and suffer on a cross in Calvary, to be buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later to rise for you? If you could do enough, say enough, give enough, be enough. If one man could have achieved it, then all of them would have to achieve it the same way that one man did. You could never do enough. That's why plenty of people say they don't believe in a once saved, always saved. They're always talking about you have hope. You have hope in what God has done. My hope is the same as trust. Hope and trust mean the same thing, people. Look it up. When I say I hope, my hope is in Jesus Christ for my salvation, that means I trust Jesus Christ for my salvation, not that I'm hoping to be saved. You wake up every day trying to do enough right to get saved. You do enough right when you get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you do enough right to 11:30 at night, then you mess up and now you're not saved again. Come on, Jesus don't want it to be that hard. Thank God for Jesus Christ and salvation. Thank God that what he done was enough. And when he died, he said, it is finished. I done took care of that. Now you take care of your part. You can't do enough, people. Stop thinking you're going around and be whole enough to be saved. It is a gift. Y'all know what a gift is? A gift is something somebody give you. If God would allow us to achieve salvation by our works and deeds, man would begin to boast and believe he has power and may think of himself as God. You could never be good enough to earn salvation on your own. Why would Jesus have to come if you could do it? Just think about it for a moment, please, people. There is never any room for you to say, I, me, my. This would take glory away from God. God created us for his glory. We are saved by grace through faith alone. But once we are saved, we should want evidence, our evidence to be work. What I'm saying, you're not doing works to be saved, but once you're saved and you begin to know the man named Jesus from Galilee and you realize that God is your creator and you realize what he has done for you, then you want to return. You want to turn around and be what he wants you to be, your intended purpose, what God created for you to be. And then you have the evidence of who you are and who your Lord is. You see, God always provides the evidence of who he is. What evidence are you portraying about who you are? You see, works do not justify, but the justified man does work. Can any verification or corroboration of facts, can it be seen in your life? What are the facts about your life that others are talking about? And as I close tonight, grace can only be defined as God's sufficiency or God's fullness in the life of the believer. When I say sufficiency, what I'm saying is grace is God enough. Sufficiencies, and the fullness in the life of the believer. I like to call grace God's enoughness. By this I mean that God is enough for us no matter what situation we face. And you got to remember, God gave everyone the measure of faith that is imparted in you at the new birth is powerful, and it's enough. They said he has given everyone a measure of faith, but you got to grow in the knowledge of God. You got to have Christian growth for your faith to grow. Much as you put in it, much as you're going to get out of it. You see, it must be nurtured and cultivated by God's word. As you grow in the knowledge of God, you develop in your faith. You want more faith? Grow in the knowledge of God. Make yourself strong on the promise of the word. Promises of the word. Release your faith in those promises and activate them in your life. What are you nurturing in your life? What are you, you know, there's something that say whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. What are you doing? What are you planting? What harvest is you looking for? You cannot plant no apple seeds and expect to get oranges. Come on now. Think about it. That will not happen. And the results you desire will surely come to pass. It is a fact. God's word will work for you. Allow the faith of God in your work. Allow the faith of God in you work for you in every area of your life. And I came by to tell you tonight, it is yours for the using. It is yours for the action. It is yours to achieve and to receive. Everything God got, it is yours. Go to him, ask, and receive everything in Jesus' name. And that's our lesson tonight. And right now it's 9:26, and this is usually the time when I ask if anybody would have something to say. I also will ask if anybody have any prayer requests. I also will ask if anybody would like to elaborate or make comments about the lesson. But I have one caller that had their line open, and their number is 504-62198. Right now, I want you to know that your line is open. The one is pressing. If it was a mistake, of course, you don't have to respond. But the number is.
Hi, Tiana.
Go ahead, darling.
How are you? Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Monica.
Okay.
My number was accidentally pressed. She's saying that we love you.
I love you, too.
And we listen every week. And I'm trying to pay attention other than the kids running around making ruckus.
but
thank you
know,
for all of the your lessons that you give and everything that we're learning.
I just thank you, Monica, for calling every week. And for those who don't know, you could go on the internet to the Blog Talk radio station on the radio, and you could hear all of the lessons all the way back, I think, to October. So sometime if you have some free time on your hand, you could go on the internet and you could pull it up. And that blog number, if you got a text from me, the blog number is on there. But for those who may not want it, if you go to blogtalkradio.com/, I'm going to say that again, blogtalkradio.com/words of wisdom. You'll be able to go into the website and you can see the radio station and all of the programs and the fullness that we do each Wednesday is listed up there. And you only have to press on the play button. And when you press on the play button, you can receive the lesson in its entirety. But I thank you, Monica. Monica is my niece, and she's saying her and her sister and their children, they listen every Wednesday, and that's a real blessing. And Monica and them is calling from California, and it's just a pleasure to have this forum that God has allowed us to have where we could come together and explore the word of God on Wednesday night. And I thank you, Monica, and I love you, and I love all of y'all as well. Be blessed.
You too.
Now, the lady that prayed for us today, she pressed the one button to be able to pray. But I'm going to open her mic up again because once you press the one button, it never goes off. You can't press it again if I know you want to say anything. So, Miss Elyria Mackey, you prayed for us and your screen was lit and, you know, you can't light it again. So I'm just asking if you wanted to make any comments because I wouldn't be able to read a prompt from you. But if you don't, it's okay. But I'm opening your mic at this time.
Okay, I enjoyed it when you were speaking about God always shows up. And he showed up when he sent Jesus to redeem us back to him. And for those that are wanting to increase your faith, the word of God said faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you start reading the word and studying the word, your faith will increase because it comes through the word of God. And that's all I have to say. And to everybody that's listening, be blessed.
And I thank you, Sister Mackie, because, you know, you brought in another aspect of faith, you know. There's so many aspects of faith, and when you say that, it activates my mind, where I like to always tell people that same scripture, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But I also use it when we think about evangelizing. You know, it's all of our job to go out and tell somebody about the word of God, and some people are fearful because they don't believe they have enough wisdom, knowledge, understanding of truth to go before someone. But if you say something like, God is good and God is good all the time, might just be the only thing that person needs. Sometimes people just need a hug, or sometimes people just need a word of encouragement. But I like to tell people this. When you take time and you speak the word of God, the amount that you know, the little bit or the lot that you know to somebody, when it says it comes by hearing, you hear yourself speak. And if you got some word in you, when you go to share the word of God with somebody, the Holy Ghost is gonna step up, and he's going to call to memory things you may have forgotten. So as you are speaking and you hear yourself talk, you may say something that's enough to encourage you. And it can build you up by your own words. So evangelizing, God don't ask us to do nothing that don't have a profit, even though it's for someone else. It also have profit. It also is a profit for yourself, because you can receive the benefit of hearing yourself speak to someone else. So I thank you for that, Sister Mackie, for bringing that aspect, because I tell y'all all the time, I don't know everything. And when I prepare a paper, it's what's coming to me at that time. But God has all of us together. And, you know, someone could say something that can add to it or make sense to somebody. Maybe I didn't. But that's our lesson for the night. And really and truly, we stopped just about on time. And it's 9:30. And what I'm going to do, if anybody would like to make any comments, make any prayer requests, because the benediction prayer is going to go forward, and I'm going to ask Ms. Mackie to pray our benediction prayer. But if anybody got a prayer request, you know, if anything is going wrong and you want us to come to the throne of grace, there's all these people from all around on here. We have somebody from California. We have somebody from Mississippi. We have somebody with a 111 area code. I don't know what that is. We have people from Baton Rouge. We have people from Gonzalez. We got a lady from, I think, a 248, that's Michigan. We have a 225, that's Baton Rouge. We got a 469, I don't even know where that's at. Whoever number is 469-688, if you don't mind, if I open the mic, could you just tell us where you're from? 469, oh, they hung up. They hung up. But I'm just saying that, look, I got a 972. You know, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot when I ask you to just say where you're from, but, you know, I'm just telling you. So if you have a prayer request, God said to pray with one another and for us to touch and agree with one another. And, you know, if you have a prayer request and when we closing out, we pray for that request, you know, you might not need nothing, but you know somebody who do. And I don't know nobody that's not in the need of prayer. But I'm going to ask for prayer for my sons. And I'm going to ask for prayer for health. And I'm going to ask Sister Elyria to lead us out in prayer. And I pray to God that y'all come back on next week. I just want y'all to know I love you guys so much. And I thank God for this opportunity, because, you see, everything that happens, God gives us the opportunity. God is giving you opportunities in your life. You might not be paying attention. You might not be listening to you. But God always provides the opportunities. You got to receive them. And I look at this as an opportunity to go over the airwaves with the word of God and be able to reach someone in the comfort of their home. And, and all of that, you know. So I am elated. I find it a privilege. So I try to keep you for 1 hour. It's 9:34. We 4 minutes over. That's not too bad. Okay, we got a caller. 504-952-57. Your mic is open.
Hey, T-Bone.
Hello, Tamika.
I wanted to tell everybody good night. I wanted to thank you not only for your prayers, but how you take your time and you conduct Bible study, not just on Wednesday, but on Mondays. We really do appreciate it. I know I do, and I continue to learn. So I wanted to tell you thank you. I love you very much, and to tell everybody that I hope that God blesses them in areas where they may be weak, in areas where they may need to be strengthened. But I wanted to say thank you. I appreciate it. I love you. I continue to learn, and I'm just so grateful.
And I thank you, Tamika. That's Tamika. She's calling from Houston, Texas. And she is also one of my nieces. Don't you see how good I got to be feeling right now? That's my nieces from out of town calls on Wednesday. You know, got the Bible teaches that man will sometimes not be recognized in his hometown, in his city, his state, or by his family. But God has seen fit to pull all of us together. And I just want to say thank you. So at this time, I'm going to let Sister Elyria come back on the air and ask her to give us the benediction prayer. Once she gives us that, I know a lot of you like to hear all of this good music that's going to go forth. And once she do that, I'm going to play Mary, Mary, Record the God in Me. And then I'll play more after that if others are still on the line. But I love you guys. I pray that you have a good week going forward. I pray that God give you the desires of your heart. I pray that he build a fence all around you. I pray that you get favor in the things that you need. I pray that you keep loving on God and allowing him to love on you. I'm asking that you sit back, relax, and let the groove of God move you. God got it under control. And here we go, Sister Larry, your mic is open.
Oh, we thank you, Lord God, for what you have done, for what you're doing, and for what you will do. God, I pray right now for Diane's son. God, that you would direct his path, because you said the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered by God. And we stand on your promises, because all your promises are yes, and they are amen. And I love what your word said, beloved, above all, I would that thou wouldest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prosper. And we thank you, God. God, we thank everyone that was listening, Lord, that you would send the blessing to and fro, Lord, that you would shield and put a hedge of protection around us. And we glorify Jesus, and we bless his name, and we thank you for sending him to redeem us back to you. In Jesus' name we pray, God, for every listener, Lord God, those that are calling in, those that will call, and we bless the name of Jesus, and we say amen, and thank you, Lord. Glory.
I just want to thank you, Ms. Mackey, and for those who are listening, I want you to know that on the same radio blog, we might have another program that's going to come forward. We're waiting to hear from God, but I'll give you more on it as it come forward. And that may be happening. It would be under the words of wisdom, but it'll probably be another day and another time. And the beautiful thing about that, if you cannot listen on Wednesday, you know, whatever day that program may be on, you can listen at it then. And since both of the programs is going to be on two different days, you could probably listen to both of them, because you cannot get too much word. I love you guys. I pray that you be back on next week. I pray that God's word won't return void. And I pray that you do as the Bible in 2 Timothy 2:15 say, that you study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. And now I'm going to play Mary, Mary, because this is the God in you and the God in me. So y'all be blessed, and see y'all back next week. I wanna tell the truth. I wanna tell the truth. I wanna tell the truth. And that was the God in me. You know, like I say, our program is over, but you like the music, I could keep it going. If anybody else would like to say anything at this time, you could press the one button and you still have time to talk about something about God. You may have a praise report. You may want to talk about something you need. You may want to talk about something you don't understand. You may want to talk about something you heard. But since nobody has pressed the one button, I'm going to play some more songs and I'll keep playing till the people get off the line. But I kept you for the 1 hour because that's my promise.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign.
I got to say,
come on, say, my God is awesome.
God, such
mountains.
An awesome God.
Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. If you know it's all the same. Come on and lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Somebody ought to celebrate the awesome God.